Do it.
I am calling to order the water wastewater regular meeting of the water wastewater committee. However, I will ask for roll call to be called.
Roll call's been taken. Let the record show all members are present with the exception of Director Graham. Therefore, this is not a board, this is not a Brown Act meeting.
There you go. So, that therefore I don't really need to call for public comments. Do you have something you want to say? You, yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't have my glasses on. Okay.
Just one day I'm not going to say
Okay. I mean, because it's really, we don't really have public comment because it's not really a meeting, but if you showed up, I was going to give you that option.
Thank you very much.
I do want to make a couple of acknowledgments. I want to acknowledge that Veolia is here at the meeting today, and that our previous Veolia manager has showed up to just be present here today. I think he's brought some. So Anthony's here and
Hello.
is here tonight today, and I just want to thank you guys for coming. And it's good to see you, bud. Glad you're back in town. I am going to move through and to updates and presentations. And that would be, is Justin on the line?
Yes, he is.
Mr. Shobe of Shobe Engineering.
Mr. Graves.
How are you, buddy?
Hi, good. How are you?
You got the floor.
Great.
Tell me what you
I've
do.
got, we prepared an agenda this evening to provide an update on the urban water management plan. As you know, Shobe Engineering's been assisting the town with doing the 2025 update. These are required water planning documents required by the State Department of Water Resources, DWR. And the adoption of that plan needs to be provided by to DWR by July 1st. So we've been developing that over the last few months. So we've been working on this for about 6 months or so with the district, collecting information and reviewing all of the regional planning documents and the GSP, and essentially just incorporating all of the information as needed into the standard guidelines, following the standard guidelines from DWR. So we're moving towards the adoption timeline now. And so the presentation tonight, the purpose is just to provide an overview to the committee, so that you're kind of aware of what is going to be inside of it and what you're going to see when the public draft is released. There will be a public draft released later this month. It'll be 2 weeks prior to the board meeting that's going to be set for the public review and the adoption. So we just wanted to give you kind of a highlight of what's going to be in it tonight. So I see somebody has the PowerPoint up. That's great. We could, if somebody wants to control that, we could just move on to the next slide. Great. So yeah, purpose of this, we pretty much just covered it, but we'll do an overview for you of what the Urban Water Management Plan is, provide you the highlights of the key findings and the information that's going to be inside of it. And then just show you what the adoption schedule, what we're proposing for the adoption schedule of that. And we can move to the next slide. So for the overview, it is a mandated document by DWR. It's due every 5 years, and it's due by July 1st. What it contains is a water supply and demand forecast for 25 years into the future. So, from now until 2050, it's going to estimate population and demand, essentially just to establish that the town has adequate water supply. It also is addressing specific regulatory requirements for reporting on water efficiency, water use standards that have been developing over the last few years. And it requires that we look at water supply from the standpoint of droughts so that we say, well, what's the water supply versus the demand? And what's the water supply during a dry year, during multiple dry years? So that kind of requires you go through certain motions to demonstrate that there's adequate supply. These documents, of course, are not, you know, they're mandatory, but they're required by your local LAFCO and county planners when they're reviewing development projects. And they want to establish that there's adequate water supplies for the development projects. This is one of those check boxes. They need to make sure this is on file. It also helps maintain eligibility for loans and grants, though that's not something that the town's previously needed or pursued. Okay, next slide. So for the schedule for the adoption, we're doing this overview tonight just to bring you up to speed on what's going to be in it, kind of a preview of what's going to be in it. We've been working with the staff on the draft. We provided an administrative draft to Dina and Aaron for review. So that's being reviewed right now internally. We'll be finalizing this document and releasing it for the public review on May 20th, and that would provide the required 2-week public review timeframe before the June 3rd board hearing. So we're proposing that the June 3rd board meeting would be the public hearing for the public review. And then following that section of the meeting, we would have an item for adoption to con for the board to consider adopting the urban water management plan. And then if they adopt it, it would be adopted in a resolution. That resolution would be attached to the urban water management plan for us to upload to DWR's website before July 3rd. And there will be some newspaper notices during that 2-week public review time frame as required in the water code. Okay, that's it for the schedule. So these are the chapters in the urban water management plan. There's 9 chapters, and these are all just following the guidelines. We're really just making it mirror the guidebook so that when DWR reviews it, they know exactly what's in it. That's the purpose of the document.
Same.
Standardized type of
We'll
planning.
do the exact same thing. Go ahead, Justin. I'm sorry.
No problem. So yeah, chapters 1 and 2 are kind of just overview, like administrative. Chapter 1 says, what is the urban water management plan and how is it organized? Chapter 2 is describing how it was prepared, how we coordinated, who we notified, and what the procedures are for adoption. Chapter 3 is getting into the service area, the basis for growth, the population estimates, and the regional land use planning changes over the last 5 years. Chapter 4 is the demand. It's looking at, based on that population and that projected growth and the past water use, what's the forecasted water use? So Chapter 4 does that. And then it also does a reporting on the status of water loss standards, which are a new regulation. From not DWR, it's from the state, but it's from the State Water Resources Control Board, who so DWR and the Urban Water Management Plan, just side note, doesn't enforce these water loss standards. And this is like the water loss standard is related to like the urban water use objectives as well, which we all hear about, like the 55 gallons per capita per day. Those are all under the umbrella of the State Water Board. But within the urban water management plan, there needs to be this cycle, they wanted a report out on it. What's the status of what those numbers are looking like? So that's in Chapter 4. And then Chapter 5 is the DWR standard for the 20% reduction by 2020, which is, it's already happened, but Chapter 5 just kind of requires that you state whether you did meet the 2020 standard, and if not, if you needed to do anything differently, the town met their 2020 standard. So that wasn't a problem. Chapter 6 is characterizing supply. So Chapter 6 is really bringing in information from your groundwater sustainability plan, which does establish supply available over drought conditions. So we reviewed the GSP, we looked at the conclusions, we brought in the relevant information to fill in, the required information in Chapter 6. So Chapter 6 is supply. They also have standard sections for stormwater or surface water or future water projects. They have a lot of information they ask for on wastewater and recycled water capabilities. Though the town doesn't do recycled water, they want to know if there's a potential access to that type of water. So we provide all the required kind of wastewater volumes that they ask for in there. Chapter 7 is based on all of that information and assessment of your reliability. And there's a typo on there, sorry, but it's your drought risk assessment, which is kind of the standardized tables for looking at water supply over single dry and multiple dry years. And then Chapter 8 is the water shortage contingency plan. This was just recently updated and adopted by the board at a previous meeting. And it's incorporated right here in Chapter 8 into the UWMP. And it's really just a summary in this plan. We'll attach as an appendix the the water shortage contingency plan that you guys have already adopted, which again, we've already talked about, but it's your operational plan for managing demand in the event of a water shortage. Chapter 9 is just a description of the demand management measures that the town has within its programs, its water waste ordinances and things like that. Okay, that's it.
Hey, Justin, at the risk of being rude, and I don't mean to be rude, you know me well enough to know that.
Won't hurt my feelings.
You're going to give the same, you're going to give the same presentation to the entire board at our next, at the meeting tonight, correct?
I certainly can. Yeah, I'm here.
Well,
I'm
you're on the
available.
agenda, isn't he on the agenda? You're on the agenda to present this to the entire board tonight. So let's do this. Rather than you having to go through this, and because I probably have more knowledge about this than anybody else on the board does, why don't we just kind of go through the pages and I'll look at stuff, and if I have any questions for you, I'll get all this information from you tonight. You don't have to go over it twice. Again, please accept my apologies. I'm not being rude
No,
or cutting you off.
that actually
But
sounds way more practical and meaningful for what we're doing
yeah,
right
so let
now.
me just
So,
go. I'm just gonna go through the pages here because a lot of this we've already reviewed earlier when you presented it. So let me just look here. Okay, so we know what that is. So I'm now at the service area and growth, which is looks like it encompasses the only area that we have the ability to grow in the next couple of decades.
Exactly. So one thing I'd point
And
out here is the kind of salmon colors are the infill properties and the future,
right.
Chicchini Branch. So we gathered those just from, we kind of know where the development projects have been that have been discussed. And then there might be a couple that are on there from our review of the general plan. The county's general plan showed some opportunity sites, like the site right on Discovery Bay Boulevard when you're coming into the town. I think that's probably the only one actually that was added.
Like across from the steakhouse, is that what you mean? And I know that you got this information for info and all that from the from our staff. And unless LAFCO does something, correct me if I'm wrong, Stephen, if LAFCO does something, we're pretty much at our limit line. So until LAFCO would approve some sort of extension of Discovery Bay, this report is confined to Chicchini and a couple of other infill areas. I don't know about the area behind the behind Safeway. Is that considered an infill area? No.
Resource conservation.
Okay, so I know where you got your information there. Let's look at the next slide, historic
Yep.
production and connections. This is kind of interesting.
Yeah, and this one I just was have it for context. It's not even in the urban water management plan, but I just thought it'd be good to see. This is the story of your water use and your growth over the history. And it's really the last 7 years or 10 years that we're using as the basis for your forecasted growth.
Can you, are you correlating actual production to connections?
There's a correlation to product. Well, it's a correlation of water use. So it's the metered water use in each category. Now that we have full meters, we're able to kind of do that level of correlation.
Got it. Okay. Another, I love tables. Let me review this next one here a little bit. Population estimates. Wow. So that would be okay.
So
Well, I mean, you have to come up with, I mean, you have to come up with numbers, so.
I would say this, 2035 is the number that's based on all of the known infill, like Chicchini
Right.
Ranch
Okay.
and Pantages, and that's the number of population, not service connect, but population from 15th today, it's 15,865 estimated to 23,923 by the end of that infill. We don't know how long those things are actually going to take, so just this is an assumption. And then everything beyond that would be, these are not infill. These would be unlikely unless there was some major changes to urban limit line or something else. So this would be like a high estimate. And the reason to do that in this plan is to demonstrate that there is available water supply, even in the highest kind of growth type of estimate. So,
Right, it kind of addresses the questions that haven't been asked yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a what if. Hey, what if there was some massive growth that did occur and there was changes in land use or urban limit lines? So what it is from now to 2035, this is pretty much based on our known growth patterns and development projects. And then beyond that, it's, well, we don't know, but if the historic growth rate continued on somehow, that would be what the numbers look like. And then we use those population numbers to estimate your projected demand. And the conclusion is there's adequate water supply in the ground water for that aggressive growth. And so it really just kind of helps to support that conclusion. That's all.
And I won't get too much in the weeds in these numbers. Okay, I'll
Yeah.
go to the next slide.
Yeah.
Understand the purpose of developing that chart. Okay.
Yeah,
Groundwater
that's wanted you to
system,
know
surface
that context.
reliability, daily flow after water use online. Do you address in here, we may get to that, but while it's on my mind, do you address in here what needs, if Cecchini, I mean, because this is a long-term growth plan, do we address whether or not we would continue the development of the Cecchini property on a well basis or a surface water basis? Do you address that anywhere in here?
No, it's not that kind of document.
Okay. All
That
right.
would be like a master plan. That would be like a specific facility analysis, specific
Think that's quite
infrastructure
why I've already
analysis.
heard of rumors of it. Yes. Okay, so infrastructure level command day flow after well 8. And he projected to be sustainable under various future. Good. So this is really good because this is really telling the state we got our crap together is really what it's doing.
That's it. That's
And
it.
that we're pl and that we're planning.
Yeah, like Cecchini, like the hit there's a story there that's definitely not captured in the urban water management plan. And the reason is because it's not required to be. And this is a mandated document that we're just demonstrating that there's adequate water supply within your groundwater basin for your current system and for the growth of the system. But Cecchini, I mean, the story there is there was some questionable water quality and in the groundwater there. So there, when it comes to the specifics of that development, there might be reasons to not use groundwater unrelated to capacity, unrelated to supply availability. Yeah, the water's there, but is it the water they want to use?
It's relating to the test drills, is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to.
We won't get into that.
No.
Test drills,
So,
too.
yeah.
I'm on water loss and state regulation. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. So this is
You may want to comment on this. Go ahead.
definitely. Yeah. This is the one that I would say has the most kind of new information, in the 2020 plan, and seems to be the most kind of regulatory specifics. And the town. So there's a water loss standard that has been established just I think last year or maybe just before that. It's really recent. And it's based on all the water audits that have been taking place since 2017. It's under the State Water Board. There's no compliance occurring here in the Urban Water Management Plan, meaning there's no enforcement that's going to take place if you're not meeting the standard. Enforcement is coming, though. They're saying by 2028, the State Water Board's going to be in, producing some type of enforcement. We don't know what it looks like yet to get agencies to meet their water loss standard. So the point here is on the reporting basis, it looks like the town is not meeting their water loss standard. And that's the data that's being presented in the plan. That's what's out there. There's the SB 555 is what's establishing that water auditing and water losses. They separate water losses into two categories, apparent loss and real loss. So when they do the audits every year, they look at your production, your meters. They do an interview. The water auditor does an interview with the operators to and Aaron, the staff, to understand how are meters recorded, like what's the accuracy, how well do we know the accuracy? Then they make an assumption about apparent loss, and apparent loss is like the paper. It's just like paper. It's not a real leakage. It's more like just the way meter inaccuracies in accounting result in what looks like a water loss. And then they say, okay, subtract that from the total amount of losses, and everything else should be a real loss. And then the real loss is an assumption that that's primarily leakage. So The state set a stand. They took 4 years of data from 2017 to 2020 as the basis. So water audits have been going on since 2016, and they took the 2017, 18, 19, and 20 as their basis for what the baseline real water loss is. And then they have some economic model that they run based on specifics of the area. And they say the economic level for water loss is this other number. They say, here's your baseline water loss. The economic level is a slightly lower number for you guys. They said your baseline is 19.9. Actually, don't have that in a bullet here, but the baseline is 19.9 from that data set. And they said their model indicates that the economic level for Discovery Bay is 13.9. So they're saying it's more efficient based on their model. It's more efficient to address leakage through leak detection programs and, what pipelines and stuff like that. It's more efficient to do that versus losing that water and losing that revenue. But below that level, they say it's no longer efficient. It's no longer cost efficient.
Okay, I gotta stop you for a second. Are you tracking this, Aaron? Do you understand what he's saying? I'm not completely understanding what you're saying, Justin, just because of the definitions. When you say water loss, you're talking about broken pipes or leaking pipes or.
Basically, they're taking the production of your wells or treatment facilities, comparing it to the water meter of what's captured,
Oh.
right?
Okay, and that's
And
how
if
you
that doesn't
determine, that's how
match,
you're determining the physical loss of water.
they're assuming you're leaking it out of the
Okay.
pipes.
The economic loss is kind of weird because
Weird.
we're not, if we're losing the, I mean, all we're doing is getting more water for losing water. We're really not losing money unless you put it's in the, I guess it's like having the gas pump leak gas. You're losing what you could charge for the gas. It's what you could charge
Yeah.
for the water, but we're not
In
really losing that because we're still going to give the people the water they demand.
the audits, they take the cost. They ask us for information about cost to produce. So they take
Okay.
the electrical and the chemical cost and the total cost to produce the water from your own financial auditing that says how much money do you spend on water versus how
Yeah,
much money
we
do you
could come
spend on
up with
sewer.
that number, dollar per gallon it costs us to pull it up out of the
Yeah.
ground, pump it,
Yep.
treat it, and ship it. We can
Yep.
come up with that number.
Yep. And so they have information, cost data that's provided in the water audits, and then they say it's going to cost money for that water to leak,
Okay, so
if
they
it's
just assign an economic loss to it. I don't know what information that really gives them. It's,
That's
yeah,
the
it just.
key. There's a lot of unknown on that still. And there, yes, there is a
Thank you
lot of
for your
unknown.
comment.
So my main takeaway and point right now is before 2028, we should be focusing on how the state came up with that number for the town, because there is an ability to go back to the state and say, this isn't really representative for us. There's a different baseline that we need, or they're not accounting for something. There's additional information we can still provide the state to address what they're calling our economic level of water loss.
What was the state assigned water loss number?
13.9 gallons per
That's
service
okay. That's that
connection.
number. And what are we at?
Okay, so it varies a lot for us. So from 2017 to 2020, it averaged 19.9. So they took our baseline from that data set. Since 2020, it's been a lot higher. And I was talking to Aaron about, Aaron would probably be best to talk about that part.
He just stood up to the podium. Go ahead, Aaron.
So in 17 to 2020, from 2017 to 2020, you got to remember we did the meter project, the water meter project. So we got brand new fresh water meters. We have water meters that were installed in 06. So those meters are only 10 years old. So they're using data from fairly accurate meters. 2020 happens, COVID happens. We can't get meters. Meters that are now at that point was 10 years old, 15 years old, are now 20 years old. They're no longer accurate. With the COVID, we couldn't get meters. We were waiting sometimes 2 years to get meters in. So our data is all over the place. Plus, you have new development like Pantages Seagrass, who is doing a lot of construction. Yes, we rented out hydrant meters for them to use the hydrant meters, but multiple times I'd go out there a day and you'd see a hose connected with no meter. I have no idea how much water was used. No matter how much you try to tell the lead guy, either a different developer or a different contractor, street sweepers, water buffalo guys.
Fingers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was.
Okay. So it's kind of it probably so those projects are pretty much complete at this point. Those meters are installed. They are not all working yet, but when they will, they'll be new and
The
be
large.
accurate. So going forward, we'll have much more of an accurate number than we had for the
Correct.
past 3 years, 6 years
I
actually.
would say within the last year, year and a half, we're really playing catch up with meters that were being ordered and them showing
But
up. Plus the construction,
there's no
the underground
enforcement
construction.
of meeting that number or not, correct?
Not
Not
yet.
yet.
Well, maybe the anomaly will help us when they average out the numbers then, because
Yeah,
say
Aaron,
you're using an inaccurate number. Here's what the reality is: it's 21.4. It's not 13.9 or whatever.
Actually, and there's a
Yeah.
couple ways to look at that too. Because Aaron, weren't you mentioning some of the AMIs on the newer, I guess the ones from 2017, are starting to, some of them are starting to fail.
We've passed it. The AMIs, that was the sunset of the AMIs. Remember in 2017, we ordered them. And then I think 2020, 3G network, they were sunsetting and we had to get the LTE, whatever versions and swapping those out. So there was a period there from probably 20 to 22 waiting for those endpoints to show up to capture that data as well. So, I mean, there was just a
But bullet point number four, that's what we're at now, 63.2 from
It's the
19.9.
high. That's the most recent audit. It just happens to be the highest loss recorded in the audit too. All the other ones have been 35 and below. Like the 2017 through 2020, I'm looking at it right now. It was like between 7 to 35. It was a
Is
big
it
range.
necessary in your report to the state to try to explain that anomaly the way you explained it to me with regards to construction
It's
issues? Does
it
that
is
get explained in your audit, in your report?
it's not explained very deeply, and it does not required to be. All it's required is that they want to know what our progress has been toward meeting that upcoming standard. The
Okay.
enforcement begins in 28. So we just said, okay, the state assigned one. They said our baseline's 19.9. They said that the standard's 13.9. And then the urban water plan asks for your most recent audit. They don't ask for any nuance. What's your most recent audit? Okay, most recent audit was 63.2. And all the other ones, by the way, are much less than that. And then we do offer a couple sentences just to say there has been some changes in the reporting and meter accuracies and development projects that have caused some volatility over the last few years. We're currently reviewing that and possibly reviewing going back to the state to readjust our baseline.
So where did they come up with 13.9 as a standard?
So yeah, the baseline was 19.9 from that set of data, 17 through 20. And then 13.9 was their economic model.
It's what they think it should be.
That's what they think is the based on the cost, because they take from the audits, they take your cost to produce the water. They know how much they, because we report that, they know how much chemical power and indirect costs, I guess, or costs from administration for the water. So they have the cost information, and then they say, okay, based on that cost information, it's costing you this much to have that leakage. And their model has a lot of has like 27 different like factors or something that go into it. And there is an opportunity to provide them with additional information to make adjustments to that. So I think it'll take just kind of reviewing that a little bit more closely with the staff and with the state. Again, there's no compliance happening right now, and so it's not about that right now, but that is our finding from this urban water management plan, is that that would be useful to do over the next year.
Do you anticipate them coming back with remarks or recommend or any comments with regards to this report, or they just accept the report?
They just accept it. They all just
Okay.
accept it. Yeah.
Moving on then.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you explaining to me how we got there. Those numbers are like, woo. I think
Okay.
it's a key finding. I think it raises a flag. I think it's worth talking about this week.
Yeah, I can understand how that might come back at some point, and I go, "Oh yeah, I remember that." If I'm still around. Okay. Give me your key takeaways now.
We've confirmed in this 2025 that there's adequate water supply for this highly aggressive kind of growth assumption. So a high growth assumption, high demand assumption, still adequate supplies even in dry, critical dry years. And the groundwater, according to the GSP, remains as a reliable source, and it's managed sustainably. And the plan that we have is consistent with all the state requirements. So there's really no other takeaways other than, all the data is there, and the town is really, I think this report's ready to go to DWR, and it'll be fully accepted by DWR, I'm sure.
Fantastic. Well, listen, I will get the full details. You will probably not get those kind of questions tonight. That's why I'm glad we did go through the report, because so I could and just do your thing, and I've got the answers I need. I probably won't ask any questions tonight.
Okay. Yeah, I
All
mean, I'll
right.
cover that slide, and I won't dive into any of the details or
Yeah,
nuances unless
don't go down the rabbit holes that I went down
I
today.
had the key takeaways on those bullets, which is there's no enforcement happening right now. It's not a compliance issue. We're just reporting on the status of these
Right.
numbers for a future compliance, which is going to be in 2028.
So let me just really quick go back here one second. So today you're yeah. So there's no approval or anything going to happen tonight. We're just going to hear your presentation. So
I
just keep me.
want we thought it would be good for you guys to hear about it now so that your first time seeing it on May 20th, like we want you to just be aware of what's in the plan now, because you're going to see the whole thing
Right.
on May 20th, and that will be the public review 2 week window. So just kind of a heads up on what's
Yeah.
going to be in the document.
Got it.
Infor
Appreciate it,
information only.
Justin.
No
We'll
problem.
be hearing from you later on this evening.
All right, we'll see you guys in a little bit.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, so moving on to the next item on the agenda, I believe is Aaron, as I recall, since I don't see the agenda. Here it is. Aaron, you want to talk about HydroCorp?
HydroCorp. Yep. So a quick cross connection update regarding HydroCorp. Since we've started the contract in July of 2025, they've done, I want to say, 590 surveys throughout the town, and we've received a non-compliance list from them about a month ago of about 170 non-compliant residences.
Okay, give me, let me, you know how I am. I have to hear it my way or I don't understand it. So that's 590 invitations from the initial invitations. I mean, invitations were sent out or letters were sent out saying you need to do this. 590 people responded and asked them to come. Am
We've
I?
done 590 surveys. That's the information I've gotten. So I imagine that's 590
People have said, come
surveys
survey my
they've done
house.
around the properties,
Yeah, I
correct?
mean, otherwise, why would they go
Surveys,
there?
correct.
Right. Okay. So then, of the 590, you had 100 something non-compliant. Give me an example of a non-compliance.
A non-compliant. So the examples of non-compliant could be simply did not make contact or schedule an appointment, or schedule an appointment, somebody came out and there needed to be some improvements or some modifications made to the property and they did not complete those.
So those 400 and something could be just people that are off water and don't need a cross connection, and therefore they're compliant. They don't have a pool and they're not on the water, they don't need a connection.
Okay, so everybody needs a survey.
Got it.
All houses need a survey.
Right.
590 of them have been completed so far.
Okay.
Right. So more is going to continue through the until July, then they'll start a new year of surveys, right? 170 of those are non-compliant, meaning 590 are completed, plus another 170 are
Oh, another
non-compliant.
170 that weren't. Okay.
Correct.
590 got the okay. Gotcha.
Correct.
Check the box.
Yep.
And that could be because they don't live on the water or they don't have a pool or they don't need that device.
No. The non-compliant means the house hasn't been surveyed, or the house has been surveyed and hasn't been corrected to meet compliance of a cross connection of whatever deficiencies or wrong plumbing they found. So that's what the non-compliant means.
So I saw on a social media site to be named later, some comments about this. And it said that one guy, there was some talk about the letter and why is anybody doing anything about this and this and that. And there was some the usual banter, but then there was some useful information that was published in there that said, hey, I just did it. I got surveyed. I called up the number they gave me. And for $20, I was compliant.
Yep.
Fixed it. I got signed off. It cost me $20.
Yep.
What a great post. But that would be one of the 500 or 400 or whatever. That would be
correct.
Okay.
Yep.
And I'm hoping that most of the time that's as simple as it is. I don't know if this guy was a genius or if he was a plumber or if somebody told him this is all you need to do when they did the survey. Is that how's that? Do you know if that how that works?
How does what work?
I mean, when HydroCorp goes out to meet the homeowner, do they say this is what you need to do?
Correct. Yes, they tell them what they find that's incorrect on the property and what corrections they need. They give them options. One, you just need an anti-siphon valve, or you need to raise your irrigation controllers.
So it may not be $20 for everybody. It could, depending on what the need is.
Correct.
Not everybody. And we know there's nothing uniform about Discovery Bay.
Correct.
Your neighbor can have something totally different than what you have.
Correct.
Because of the custom homes and different contracts.
Yeah. For example, just you have some homes. I'm trying to think of a street like maybe Seal or Spinnaker, where if you drive down the street, the homes are actually elevated above the street where all flow goes back towards the street. And then if you go to the more northern side of town where you're on the street and the homes slope away, for example, this is just one scenario that I can think of. You have a control box or you have a controller that is at the front of the property where they usually all are, but it has to be a certain distance above your highest sprinkler head. Where your furthest sprinkler head is going to be up at street level, where your house is sitting further below street level.
So what's the remedy for that?
You have to raise the control box up and above that sprinkler head for that device to properly work.
So depending on where that control box is, it may mean relocating it, like to a flower bed instead of the middle of the lawn or wherever it happens to be.
Correct.
And so that could be obviously much more, but it's still just digging up plastic pipe and sealing it, put it back in.
It's is that simple, but it could be in concrete. So
It could be in concrete. It
could be under a deck.
At that point, what you do is you cut the pipes and you pour concrete in the box and you go put it over there.
Yes.
You don't.
Or you install the backflow. If the backflow is cheaper than digging up the entire driveway, or you know the deck
is going to be above ground.
Correct.
It might take out your transmission.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of scenarios out there.
I'm with you. I'm being very facetious.
Yes.
Detail.
So there's 170 that are non-compliant, and HydroCorp has sent out two letters to these properties, letting them know, hey, and then now we're taking the extra step. We're going to be sending a letter that we've drafted to these homeowners, letting them know you have 14 days to schedule an appointment with HydroCorp. It doesn't have to be done within 14 right. days of the inspection, but
again,
to schedule
yeah.
an inspection. Otherwise, we'll end up shutting your water off.
Okay, so they've been out there. They've been found to be non-compliant. HydroCorp's informed them they're non-compliant under whatever system we have in place. And I'm sure it's a double. I'm sure everybody's properly informed. And then they have how long to fix that the first time around?
Depends on what we find. If it's hooked it directly up to the delta, if they got a pump in the delta and it's strictly pumping water, I'm immediately shutting that off.
Okay.
All but right. If it's an irrigation issue, it's a reasonable fine. They're like, okay, you scheduled it. It needs to be corrected. HydroCorp gives them
once
a time.
Once they get the final notification, they have 14 days to schedule it. HydroCorp back out there again, and HydroCorp will explain to them in detail what has to happen.
Correct.
And then we have to put a finite time limit on what that, how long that compliance.
Correct. And depending on what they find on that survey.
Okay. Interesting.
So a letter will be going out, and then door hangers. Letters will be going out to the physical addresses of the surveys, plus the owners if that house happens to be a rental or, you know, a second home or something like that. So we'll end up sending it to the property owner, wherever they may be. And then physically putting a door hanger on the house, following up, letting them know.
So two things, or really from the board standpoint or for the committee standpoint, but from the board standpoint, we just have to do our job. We have to do what has been told to us by the state to do.
Yes.
And that's just the way it is. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. This is what has to happen.
Yeah, this is state regulated, so.
And we have, and what's the, there's a suspension date. What's the final date this has to be completed by?
10 years.
I'm sorry?
We have to complete this. We have to complete all of our entire district within 10 years.
The survey.
The survey.
Not the compliance.
I'm confused on the compliance part.
Okay, we'll talk later. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
For the district to be compliant, we have to complete the survey 10 years from when we initially started in July. The resident.
Okay, so let's say we have 10,000 homes here, and I know it's not accurate, but let's just say we have 10,000 homes here. What does a completed survey look like? 8,000 are fine, and 2,000. I mean,
The survey,
can we turn in a non-compliant fail, basically? Or I mean, a survey just says, you're you, and you're you, and I'm me. I mean, it doesn't say that we've completed anything. It just says we've surveyed it, and we understand and accept the fact that there's these deficiencies. Are we also responsible in 10 years to have those deficiencies corrected?
yes. So when the letter goes out and they schedule with HydroQuip, HydroQuip comes out, they have to complete what the survey results are of the findings to bring up the plumbing code that meets the state's requirements, having either a backflow or proper raised irrigation, or a backflow for the, or having an air gap for their pool or their hot tub. So that has to be done through HydroQuip. That will be scheduled between the resident and HydroQuip. Our survey or
Okay, I know I get it. And our contract with HydroCorp is for as many trips as they need to make that they feel reasonably have to make to a particular resident. They may go to the same residence 3 times.
Yeah, there's a, there, they call it, they hope to get it done in two. There's the initial inspection, and then there's the follow-up to make sure that those corrections have been corrected.
But
Or
if they go do an initial inspection and they don't hear anything,
they're non-compliant.
then they have to go back
Yeah.
second time, and it may take to a third time. And then they say, "Hey guys, we're serious because we're going to turn your water off."
Yeah. That's,
Can HydroCorp make that statement to the homeowner?
they send a, their second letter says that the water will be shut off. They send us the list of all the non-compliant homes, and that's what we're doing by sending this letter out to those homes. We will physically go out there and shut them off and put a lock on it until they
That's crazy.
schedule with HydroCorp.
And we've been given that authority from the state to turn their water off, even though it's a health issue.
Yeah.
It's in our ordinance as well. We have to do the ordinance to fit these requirements.
But yes, one of those.
Hold on, what was your question?
Okay, I just had mine done. They did mine back in March. I didn't. They told the guy told me what I needed, and but he said I'm gonna, you'll be getting a letter sent to you with the formal thing on saying what you need. Okay, well, just the other day I hadn't received anything, so I called him. It's like, oh yeah, it just so happened to go out today. Funny thing. Can we schedule a call back for you? I said, well, yeah, fine. She said, how about tomorrow morning? I said, that'd be great. So your number might be a little bit off
Well, that's
because the letter's not coming out
right.
saying that you're compliant or you did. Because if I wouldn't have called, I would, and I'm waiting on the letter. I'm not compliant because it's already said that I need three of these hose bits.
Correct.
So that number might be just a
Our
little bit off.
letter's just for
Well, you wouldn't be listed as non-compliant if they hadn't got back to you to check your deal,
Well,
right?
yeah, but I mean, I should have called
I well.
Yeah, that's.
Like that. And so
We can address that with HydroCorp.
yeah.
Rescheduling and having them come out and saying that I need three of these, then that's what they send to you guys saying that I need three of those. until I get a letter come back, I don't know if I wouldn't ask
I,
that.
No, I'm with you.
You know, so.
It keeps you on edge, wondering if you've done what you need to do, and it doesn't close that chapter for you, and it's just an item that's left open. I get that.
Yeah,
we'll work with HydroCorp to see that they.
Yeah, so I mean, HydroCorp may not be right at the speed quite yet. I mean, they should be, you know, if they've got 500 of them. But how many of the non compliant things are letters that are kind of waiting to come out for the homeowner to say, okay, well, I.
Correct. This is going to be a thing that's going for 5 years. So we're behind HydroCorp. They're moving steps ahead of us, and then they give us updates, and then we act on a step behind them.
So, but all that aside, and the perceived lack of communication probably should have been better. But overall, how was the experience for you?
It was fine. I followed up. I said I'd like to make an appointment, and they made it within, you know, a few days. I got a guy came back, walked around the house. I said, well, I think all I need are three hosted. They go, yeah, you're right. But you'll be getting a formal letter.
Sure. Okay.
So I didn't get it. I called. They scheduled the very next day that after I called. The guy came out, said, hey, you're good to go.
What was the total cost of your repairs?
I think I got three of them off Amazon for like $12.
Okay. Thank you for that input. I just was curious because it doesn't affect me because I live in the Blue Roofs. So,
yeah.
We're. It affects our HOA, but not me personally, because none of our stuff's not outdoors.
Yeah.
But so I don't have an experience. So it's good to hear your experience. And I'm sure not all of them will be that simple or that easy, but it's good to hear that HydroCorp, you felt that they, other than not getting back to you in a timely way, they were good people to work with?
Yeah. Okay. Really
good.
Thank you. You could probably go to Home Depot and spend, you know, 15 points.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Appreciate that. Aaron, I kind of interrupted you.
I just wanted to run the numbers because you might be a little bit off.
No.
It's not that
close. I'm going off numbers, I think, 6 weeks ago.
Oh,
and then I'll get another progress report from them,
yeah.
And then I'll react to that. Hopefully this is quarterly. So that's I'm about a quarter behind them is probably how this is going to work.
I kind of cut you off there. Did you have more that you wanted to talk about with this?
Oh, you're good. Nope. It's just more or less just letting you guys know in case, you start seeing this on Nextdoor of like, hey, what's going on with these letters? Is this real? What's happening? We are sending these letters out. So please schedule. It is state mandated.
Okay. Let's move on to E1.
That's me. All right. So I'll make this short and sweet. Currently, the town and Beulah have been working on their new long-term contract for many, many months. The existing contract expires April 30th of 2026. So both parties, the town and Beulah, executed a fifth amendment as a short-term bridge extension to the operating the water and wastewater facilities without interruption. This bridge keeps everything the same service fees, and terms from May 1st until May 30th, or until the new contract is signed. We're hoping to bring the new contract to you for May 20th. Legal counsel will be presenting that at the next meeting. And I just wanted to give you a quick update.
So that will, is it still being reviewed by legal?
What, the bridge
the contract?
Or the main contract? Yeah, it's between Beulah Legal and Andy. So it's just trying to get those two. I mean, it's been months and months and going back and forth.
How many pages is this contract?
642.
How many? I mean, is it more than I want to look into?
It's, yeah.
Okay. All right. I just, it's
well,
going to be,
I mean,
it's going to be hard for me to have any questions May 20th if you're presenting it to me May 20th.
Well, we're doing just the contract extension, right? So,
oh, we're just doing the bridge on May 20th?
No, the bridge was already signed.
Okay.
So Andy said I could sign that under our purchasing agreement because it's not
okay.
Changing anything.
Sure.
The new contract will be coming to the board on May 20th, and he will outline all the changes that were made. It's basically simply the same. What we're adding is lift station P,
sure.
Well 8.
Right.
We're not going to add Well 8 or be charged for Well 8 until it's actually in operation. So, and then it's the increase of, I think it's roughly around 3% for the contract increase.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see about a 13% increase in fees on the new contract because of lift station P, well 8, and and the increase for the basic
But written
coverage.
into that contract, it's going to say that that other 10% doesn't occur until those two items come
Not
online.
necessarily 10% because the station P is already in operation, but definitely well
Is
into.
it, when you drive into Pantages, I met you over there the other day, and you make that right-hand turn to go to the water plant.
Right.
Is that is the first little area you come to? It says like Veolia or something, or system. That little lot right there next to that house, that's the lift station? Yeah. It's right there. Right there. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So what you're saying is that there's probably not much need. I mean, there's very slim chance that the board's going to reject the contract. Because if they reject the contract, then another bridge contract has to be involved.
Yes.
But so that's. Okay. All right. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Is that it for the meeting? Okay. Let's adjourn the meeting. We'll see you guys back here in about 45 minutes. Are we done talking?